Within football, we have silos.
We talk about hiring the man first, the coach second. I think he is an unbelievable person.
Every single person in this locker room right now is playing professional football.
Aaron get COVID, and the week, they're like, yeah, you starting. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Just here to tell you, Pack is back.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Giannis.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I'm Spencer, joined this week with Todd. Todd.
Hello.
And it is not a victory podcast. The Packers sadly losing 29-31 in Lambeau Field against our bitter rival, the Minnesota Vikings. On this episode, we will break down that loss. We'll have take news talking about the potential of a Davante Adams trade. Those rumors swirling around. Maybe some Aaron Rodgers, Josh Jacobs discussion. We in fact, will have SVP again. I was able to dig up some more very, very important facts about the Green Bay Packers that have to do with SVP. We'll have stump spending and the Rams preview. But Todd, it was a game. We both live in Minnesota. Not probably the one game we'd want to win. Every year, just about. I think if I could sweep the Vikings every year, that is the one interdivisional rival I would pick. But other side of it, how are you feeling?
I mean, it's frustrating. I think that's the biggest thing for me is frustrating and disappointing. That's what I came away feeling
Fair.
At the end of the game. I was pretty mad at the beginning, but that was just fresh frustration, right?
Very fair. Yeah, and I was you're talking to your buddies during the game too, and everyone's just so upset. I was too. But games like that, where there's just clear, obvious mistakes, that if something had gone the other way, it's tougher for me to get upset. Like, especially losing by 3 points when we had the McDuffie drop, the Wicks drops all over the place, the missed field goals, Jair Alexander being out, Valentine being out. I know it's excuse-making, but it's one of those where I'm kind of going back to where we were with Aaron Rodgers in the LaFleur era, where this still kind of feels like preseason, and I feel good that this team is going to make the playoffs, and I just want to be hot at the end of the season, make these mistakes now. We're still very competitive against a good team, so I'm fine with how things went, you know?
Yeah, I think the rational part of me is like, man, these are the dumbest mistakes in the world, and they're fixable. Because they're just like, there's dumb mistakes. And like, so the rational part of me is like, this is all fixable. Like, I'm not worried. I'm not panicking. Like, that was a totally winnable game for the Packers. Like, that was not, it's not lack of talent. But then the irrational part of me is like, why are we making so many dumb fucking mistakes? Like, and
why
drops.
Are we not blitzing more?
Like, oh my God, like, can we get a pass rush? Hey, guess what? Four's not working. On 3rd and 18, 4's not working. Bring somebody. Like, make Sam Darnold beat you. But, again, like, we'll be fine. It's just we gotta clean up a lot of things. And going forward, I think we can, so.
Yeah, and again, it was bad. And, you know, defense pass rush still only allowed 3 points in the second half. And I knew the game was crazy. But looking back and that going into the fourth quarter, it was 28-7. Is even more crazy. Like, the whole comeback pretty much came that final quarter.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I had fun watching. Did not like the outcome. God, if our sweet Prince Tucker didn't fumble
if
that
Jordan
one.
Love doesn't just airmail one.
Ugh,
what, I mean,
God.
Yeah,
I don't know how,
like,
you don't throw it to the corner.
Right. That was the thing, is if it was wide, at least you get a jump ball. So
that's what I would have done. I don't know why.
Totally.
He wasn't.
I know you would have.
Speaking of Jordan Love, we'll get into the offense here. I mean, I liked it. It's a weird game. 32 out of 54, 389 yards, career high, the 4 touchdowns, 3 picks. Todd, 3 weeks in a row now. First Billy, then me, then you. Bold prediction hitting. You said Jordan Love would have 4 touchdowns. You could see it happening. Sure enough, it did. Well, do you remember what your score prediction was?
I think it was 31-28.
That's what I thought. So
Packers, obviously.
Pretty good prediction either way. But Jordan Love, first game back from the MCL injury. I don't know. I was still fine. A lot of people said he was inaccurate. He clearly was.
He said obviously, he was inaccurate.
He said he was inaccurate after the game too.
And
but for
was.
Me, I'm like, he's always a little inaccurate. He's always kind of throwing these hospital balls. We saw what happened with Christian Watson, unfortunately. You know, remember, you know, some of the idiots on Twitter, they're like, oh, I'm so glad Rodgers is gone so we could finally throw over the middle of the field. It's like, that's where, you remember against the Raiders last year?
Yeah.
Remember against the Eagles this year? Remember this game where these interceptions are coming?
It's definitely more exciting because Rodgers wouldn't throw questionable balls like literally ever. The only time he ever got picked was when it bounced off somebody's hands and then there was a defender 5 yards away to catch it. Like, that was literally the only picks he threw some years. But like with Jordan, it's like he is a gunslinger. He's not quite Josh Allen. He takes care of the ball typically a little bit better. But yeah, there's been some of those hospital balls too where it's like, man, and I get it. Like in today's league, you can throw those balls into traffic where like you're not really worried about your guy getting killed because the rules are so soft. But like, even so, guys were getting up pretty slow. I think there was one where Reed got hit over the middle of the field. He got up slow. Tucker got up slow. There might have been another one.
And yeah, you're Tucker just like, going from right to left, like near the red zone. I forgot about that. He got fucking smacked.
We cannot lose our sweet Prince Tucker. That is not, keep him safe.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I still, gutty performance, it's still wild. 54 attempts. God, I should have looked that up. When was the last time he threw the ball that many times, which is still crazy coming off of the MCL sprain to have that happen. You know, the picks weren't great. The one I don't think was so much Love's fault that went one off Musgrave and then Dobbs' hands. That's the thing. That first quarter, that first half, I remember when that play happened, like Watson getting hurt, the ball going off two guys' hands, then it's picked. I'm like, this just is not our
It was just
day.
Bad. Yeah, it's just bad luck all around. Bad luck also aided by the fact that nobody was playing well. So
no, not really. And I guess, we'll just talk about the refs here quickly. It felt like one of those Wicks drops was a catch. The Xavier pick was clearly a drop. And then the refs. LaFleur, the halftime thing, man, that was, what a weird, that officiating crew is usually pretty solid, but like they didn't call a ton of penalties.
Are you talking about the timeout?
Yeah, what I'm getting at is the timeout. Such a weird thing because it wasn't, and that shithead Ryan Wood, who's really getting on my nerve this year, who writes for the Green Bay Gazette, on Twitter, he was like, how can Matt LaFleur do this? He's complaining about the spotting of the ball. It's like, no. That's not what happened. And then he wouldn't admit he was wrong afterwards. You know, Ryan Wood doesn't really like doing that. But I understand Matt going up, trying to call a timeout, appears to get ignored and then jumps in the air, keeps doing it. And then they flag him for it. After the game, because he didn't swear. He said he did not swear at them.
That's
but it's fun. Because
that's
he.
That's
he,
even more funny that he didn't swear.
He was demonstrative, I believe, is the term that the ref used, which is just.
What does that mean?
How far up your own ass do you live where you're like, how dare you jump in our direction when we didn't, you know, give you a timeout, which you were asking for?
They're saying because of his body language?
Yeah, because he was like jumping up and down and he looked mad.
That's essentially the softest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Incredibly soft, which is, I wonder if the refs were like, Xavier, you can have this pick. Or maybe after the Wicks drop that they ruled a drop, you know, maybe they were trying to even out the game a little bit. I don't know, but it was never good when your head coach is getting a 15-yard.
But also, too, like they were talking on the broadcast, like LaFleur is allowed to like run down the sidelines to call timeout, too.
Right.
Which he was doing. Uh-huh. And then they just like the ref like seemingly looked in his direction. Can't tell if he looked at him, obviously, but like, what are you looking at over there?
Either
if
way,
not very the head weird. Coach jumping up and down, calling timeout, running at you. If it's not that, what are you looking at, buddy? I don't.
Maybe he just thought he was really excited.
Yeah, he's excited. He's yelling at his players to do a good job. I don't know. That was like really frustrating too to watch that. But then I also was like, I kind of hope that he like said something really mild so that this would blow up. And indeed, like you get to hear about like, oh, it was his demonstrative behavior, his body language, and it's like. The refs are just a problem these days.
very bad this year. Yeah. Finishing things off with Jordan Love, too, the last thing. Obviously, maybe not obviously. People might have seen on social media, he showed up wearing a Brett Favre jersey. One, you know, I assume because he's playing through the injury, and two, because Favre was recently diagnosed with Parkinson's, which maybe he wasn't recently diagnosed. It's obviously very sad to hear, no matter, you know, what kind of person you are, I suppose. But to decided to reveal that when you're speaking in front of Congress is kind of an odd move. But either way,
I thought he revealed it on Twitter. That's where I saw it.
No, he did that after he said it in front of Congress for his hearing about the misuse of Mississippi State funds or whatever, which is less.
To be fair, nobody's watching Congress, so Twitter is where everyone got it.
Moving on, running backs. Ugh, it's tough. I just looked at the box score and saw Aaron Jones' name and almost read off his stats. But Josh Jacobs, the 9 carries, 51 yards, long of 13. He also had a couple catches in this game, too, 4 for 27. Pretty nice getting him involved there. He looked good as well. Emmanuel Wilson, 8 for 27 with a long of 8. But very interesting the way that it shook out. I thought it was kind of a big thing, and maybe it turns into nothing. But for me, it's a big thing. Because Matt LaFleur said after the game, Matt Schneidman had asked him about the snap count between Josh Jacobs and Emmanuel Wilson. And the first thing that LaFleur said is, well, I don't have the snap counts in front of me, which is kind of a weird excuse because obviously that's readily available. So it's right. Like he didn't want to answer the question. So then Matt Schneidman told him what the snap counts were. And then Matt said that it turned into a passing game and there were some issues with pass protection. Meaning, the Green Bay Packers feel more comfortable with Emmanuel Wilson in a pass-first offense when you're down big to be a pass blocker than the guy who we just gave, you know, $12 million, $12.5 million per year.
Well, the good news is the Packers aren't planning on throwing it very much, just 54-plus times a game.
So we'll see, but it's just for me, I love Aaron Jones. I wish we would have kept him and be drafted more of a bell cow-type running back. Instead of what we did with Marshawn Lloyd. But it's just upsetting to me when the main gripe against Aaron Jones is he can't carry the full load. And now we're paying this running back who apparently can't carry a full load. Because if it's a pass happy situation like this, apparently we don't feel great about him. But what did you think of the running backs?
I mean, I thought when Jacobs was, when he had the opportunity to run up the middle, I was pleasantly surprised at how well. I mean, this is almost more of a line thing. But he, like when he gets to the second level, too, I mean, he's a bowling ball. He moves north and south well. He's super fun to watch. I mean, and Emmanuel didn't have as much success on the ground. He's kind of the past weeks had chunks where it's fun to watch him like break off those chunks. But yeah, I mean, if that's the thing and maybe it's understanding blocking schemes, maybe that's the positive thing. It's like, hey, maybe he can. I'm talking about Jacobs here. Maybe Jacobs can figure it out as far as like blocking schemes. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Minnesota does a lot of weird things. So if there was a game where a guy who's new to Green Bay is going to have a hard time, it's going to be Minnesota because of they always, no matter who the defensive coordinator is, they're always doing unique blitzes, I feel like. Like that's a Minnesota thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're not wrong. They always seem to have a pretty solid defense on top of that, too. But you're right, the blitz packages. Because what was it with Zimmer?
Zimmer did the double A-gap blitz.
The double A-gap blitz.
The mugs.
And then Flores just is like, who's going to actually rush? We don't know.
Props to Jordan, though, for doing the hard counts at the right times. And like props to people for not jumping for the most part on those. There was a couple. But like that really seemed like it helped a lot against that pass rush. Because like he would do that. Give him a 2 or 3 count sometimes, and then it was like, oh, change the protection, can the play, and then we'd run something else.
I like seeing, before I forget here, the Vikings, when they were running their hard count stuff, and I forgot who had tweeted this out here, but they did that. They showed, I forgot, one of the linebackers was showing blitz, so then Aaron Jones pointed out that he was going to block him. But by doing that, that allowed Keyshawn Nixon to come in scot-free.
Is that what happened?
That's what happened. So it's one of those where, you know, we always think about it's good to declare who you're going to block if you're on offense. But in that case, and, you know, it was the Vikings.
Showing your hand,
and that helped Keyshawn have even more confidence, which we know he isn't lacking. Josh Jacobs, something else to throw out there. I think he doesn't have gloves, or he didn't in this game. That's kind of fun to watch, too. A little Vlad Guerrero there. Other thing, and I put this out on Twitter, too. I hate that when they were talking about like the top Packers running backs, they showed Amon Green wearing number 34. I understand why they did it, because when he broke the all-time rushing record for the Packers, it was when he came back and he wore number 34 because John Kuhn had 30. But God, that is just a disgusting image to see. Whiteouts. I mean, God. Jaden Reed, he's not Devontae Adams, but as far as the podcast is concerned, it's like he's kind of automatic for how high his fucking floor is in these games.
Totally different receptions. Play style, but yeah. The consistency, I think, is what you're trying to get at.
100%, yes. 7 receptions, 139 yards, the 1 touchdown. Did he have any rushes in this game? Yep, he did have one rush for 2 yards. Very cool. But yeah, I mean, he is just that dude. Even late in the game when Jordan, who, again, wasn't very accurate, threw way behind him, Reed was able to slow down, make that catch, and pick up. It was at least 30 yards there.
Well, how about the touchdown pass after the muffed punt where we get the ball at like the 5-yard line or whatever? And it's like a swing and up. Was he in motion and then he turns it up or whatever it is? I can't remember what it is, but he's blanket covered. And it's just like it's what you always want to see from like your wideouts, that like jump and they float in the air.
Yes.
For like the 3 seconds, and he just reaches over him and takes the ball away. And it's like, that's a dude who knows how to catch the ball. And he's not big. Like, you don't expect that. You would expect more of a Christian Watson body type to do that. Or even like Romeo Dubs does that type of stuff, and it's not surprising. But like, Jaden Reed is like a small dude, but he plays, I don't know. It's just fun to watch him. Like, he can do anything.
And that was great. You know, he had that touchdown, and then he hypes the Lambeau crowd up too. Like, that was huge as well, because that we were dead in the water there. And even if we didn't score that touchdown, you know, if that flag from LaFleur really fucked us, man, this is a completely different feel we have going into next week. Dontavian Wicks, I mean, God, he's almost the bigger story almost out of this game, just because of what a weird game he had. 5 receptions, 78 yards, the 2 touchdowns. He had 13 targets. Several drops. Like, he had at least 4 like legitimate drops in this game, but I think like you could argue 5 or 6. It's kind of been his bugaboo this year too. Against the Eagles, he had a couple drops as well, and it's weird how it's almost that James Jones type deal where he catches the tough ones but seems to struggle more with like the easier ones, like that touchdown where he jumped up and it just hit him in the chest. I wonder if the sun got in his eyes like it did for that one punt returner. But fuck, that was less than ideal. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he's a guy, too, where we have to give him more of those easy opportunities. We saw that in the second half when we gave him like that real quick pass, and he's just able to get that yak, which seems to be his strength. I think that kind of got him going a little bit more, too. I would like to see a lot more of that earlier in the games.
I'm trying to remember what the play was. Was it he had like a third and long drop or something like that? Was it maybe what it was? It was a turnover.
There were so many, it's hard to remember.
Then he got the ball back, and I was texting my buddy, and I was like, I can't remember what he said, but I was, all of a sudden, Dontavian Wicks starts catching balls, and I was like, oh, he's making you look stupid for saying can't catch. And then he drops one in the end zone, and I was like,
I know,
he's all done making you look stupid.
So we'll see. I don't know. It's been a struggle so far this year. I don't remember it being that big of an issue last year, but whatever. And it was funny to see after like Bo Melton and Malik Heath had a couple more snaps and a couple receptions, then Wicks was like, okay. And then he had 2 touchdowns after that. So I don't know.
Christian, not great throws too. It's like, and that's like you just said, it's like the harder throws he's dropping. Like there got to be just concentration catches where he's looking away because he thinks he's got it, or like, I don't know.
God, some of them are tough. Like, Jordan Love loves to throw a low ball to some of these guys, especially Wicks.
He does. Throw it right at his shins.
Yeah. The other guy to talk about, Christian Watson, obviously getting banged up, ankle injury. Sounds like a high ankle sprain. The news keeps going back and forth on if he will go on IR. I don't think he is. He probably would have been by now.
I heard it was mild, so he probably won't.
Nothing's mild with him. If Christian Watson is questionable to return to a game, he is out for the game. Very rarely it seems like that he's going to come back. This seemed like a much I don't know, abrupt, tougher injury, because you can clearly see him get wrapped up. But I still remember that 2022 season when him and Aaron Jones were ruled out at halftime, and then they both played the next game. I'm like, hey, we lost that game by like one score, and if we fucking had won that game, we would have made the playoffs. Whatever, I don't know. We'll see. Still hoping he turns into a guy, but God, it is tough to get a real feel for what Christian Watson's going to be, and this is year three for him, but we're going to talk about him later with the take news and Davante Adams and shit. So anything else with the wideouts there, Todd?
No, I don't think so.
Good. Tight end, because we got to talk about these, or this motherfucker. Tucker Kraft, our baby boy, our Jesus reincarnated. 6 receptions, 53 yards, the 1 touchdown along a 21, and just the... When's the last time we had a touchdown where someone just forced themselves through people?
I'm literally... It's like JerMichael Finley.
Yeah?
And he's not like... He wasn't like a truck stick guy, but it was like you couldn't knock him out of bounds type of guy. And like, Tucker's different, where he's more like, you're in my way, and like, I don't give a shit, and I'm going. Like, I literally, like, he reminds me of Kittle. He's like baby Kittle to me. Like,
yeah,
I know that might be a stretch for a lot of if people aren't fans of the Packers, but like, when you watch him play, like, that's a tough dude in a league that doesn't have a lot of toughness anymore.
I've heard a couple of guys saying, I think it was like Tyler Brook, he's like, he already might be at an all pro level, like an all around tight end.
Literally, like, the way I watched a game with my parents at my parents' house in Wisconsin, and I was telling my dad, I was like, all you have to do if you're defending the Packers run game is like, where is Tucker Kraft? That's where the ball's going. Yeah. Like, just follow him around. That's where the ball's going to go in the run game. Because like, in the last couple weeks, and especially with Malik Heath, I mean, that's where they go. And for good reason. He's lead blocking up the middle. He's that H-back, whatever, move, tight end, whatever you want to call him. But like, he can do it all. He's so fun to watch.
You brought up George Kittle. At his locker room last week, Kraft was, I think, Bill Huber was asking about, you know, playing through shit, blah, blah, blah. And Kraft brought up Mark Bavaro, who's a guy I had never heard of. Apparently, Rich Bisaccia brought him up. He was this old tight end for the Giants back in the 80s. And you watch him, and it is Tucker Kraft. He's a guy who just runs through people. And the big thing for him was playing through injuries. He had, like, degenerate knees or some shit. He was like a perennial all-pro tight end, and the Giants cut him because they're like, this guy can't run anymore. And he ended up playing like 5 more seasons for different teams, and he just always played through shit, and he always ran through dudes. So Tucker was hyping that guy up and saying that that's the one that he's implementing his game after. Another thing, what you were kind of talking
from
about.
From the 40s.
80s. When they said Mark Bavaro, I was like, oh, this is going to be some leather helmet.
Yeah, that's what I was assuming.
But then I watch him, like, oh, there's an actual highlight of him, and he's still alive today, I think. I don't think there was
It's in color. The highlight was in color.
Yes, yes. Bill Parcells, Giants. The other thing I was going to say, the toughness again with Tucker Kraft, I won't do the research. I wish someone would. I think he's gotten more yards on these, like, outs, these little fucking swing out plays, than Richard Rodgers did in his entire career. Because those plays under Mike McCarthy were always for 2 yards. The big tight end with the tube on his back would catch it, go down almost immediately. The only play he ever really had was the Hail Mary.
That was a lot of yards in one play.
Very cool, but it's so much better to see a guy who loves the yak getting those plays rather than like Luke Musgrave. When he does it, it is the...
Say something nice about Luke Musgrave.
He's the guy who will stretch the field now with Christian Watson being out, maybe?
No, that's Bo Melton. Say something else that's nice.
He's trying his best.
Nice hair. No, I
Very
think
nice hair.
We shouldn't pick on him too much. I do think tight end's a super hard position to play. I think we got to give him like all year to develop. Like, that's a tough position. Like, Luke hasn't been having a ton of success. Like, he's taken a clear backseat to Tucker, but for good reason. It's just because Tucker's that much farther ahead. And, like, that's just props to Tucker. Like, that dude's a dog.
And again, snaps this week, Tucker Kraft had 65, which was 86%, and Musgrave had 25, which was 33%. So, still kind of maintaining that snap percentage, both those guys. The offensive line, again, Walker, Elton, Myers, Sean Ryan, Zach Tom. I don't know if there's a ton to talk about here. Sean Ryan seems to be a competent right guard. You know, we didn't really notice. Run game was just fine. No big issues there. Zach Tom still. I know you said he was he the guy who led up the one sack?
I thought he got beat for the at least he at least has hurries on his resume now.
Okay, because I just saw that he's like the best pass blocking tackle in the league just about.
As of last week, he was like the only guy without a pressure, I believe, because Lane Taylor had the one.
Okay. Lane Taylor?
No, sorry, Lane Johnson. Okay. Lane Taylor yeah. would also have some hurries under
his
belt.
I believe he's retired in Texas with his barbecue restaurant.
But
it,
he would, is what I'm saying.
Good point. It's funny how you just came up with that name out of nowhere and just went along with it. Rashid Walker, I don't think he had a hold in this game, did he? He might not have had a penalty, maybe a false start.
Gosh, no, but Elton Jenkins had like three.
Yeah, he, again,
and like a false start, which I'm just like, that doesn't seem like him. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, it's he's been kind of he hasn't, you know, been a downgrade or anything, but it's just we've expected him to be like the dude on the offensive line, and that's kind of been more
and he
so.
He is the Swiss Army knife, like that dude, super valuable, can play anywhere. But yeah, when you're hearing his name the most, it's like, what's going on?
And hey, Josh Myers, kind of like last year, he seems to have settled down a little bit at center where he's moving a little bit better in space. I just don't understand how football players can be so inconsistent at times, and he seems to be the definition of that.
It's got to be matchups, right? Like, there's got to be certain guys in the league that stress these interior linemen out. I don't know. Like, that feels like what it is.
Yeah, and maybe it's just getting settled. I mean, again, and I don't know how much goes into it, but his father did pass away during training camp, and maybe he's kind of back to
Josh?
His old self. Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't hear Josh's name or Sean Ryan's name like at all that I can remember. So that's good news.
Yeah, and again, against the Vikings, who were leading the league in sacks going into that game, hard to be upset. Especially you wonder too if there's like that extra motivation with it being Jordan Love back there and with the bum knee, where maybe they're playing a little bit harder. Whatever. I don't know how much actually goes into that. Commercial break.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows the resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product-specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
All right, and we are back with the defense. The defense, not good. 14 points in the first quarter, 14 points in the second quarter, but then didn't allow another point until the fourth when they let up three. I don't know. It's a goofy defense. I still feel pretty confident with them. I know a lot of people probably don't. It doesn't feel like scheme is the issue for the most part. I think we would all agree that we would have liked to see a little bit more blitzing. I felt like the whole first half of this game was a four-man rush, which for me, I go back and forth for who to blame here, because obviously we want that excitement. We want exotic blitzes, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, when you have the Packers currently have the worst pass rush win rate as a team in the NFL. But it's so weird to look at these stats because they have the worst pass rush win rate. They've allowed the most time to throw in the NFL, at least going into this game. But they're also top 10 in pressures and QB hits. And Sam Darnold only had one pass outside the pocket in this game. So it's like, it's very weird to get all these stats. Some are saying good things, others are saying bad things. I don't know. I still feel good about the defense as a whole, but I'm wondering if maybe some of these players aren't as good as we thought coming into this year. I don't know.
I don't know how this factors in to like defending the run, because that's obviously really important, especially this year. We've had more rushing touchdowns than in the last 15 years probably to start the season. Like, it's just a weird season. So I'm not discounting. We do need to be able to defend the run, but it does feel like schematically, we need to create pass rush. And if that's stunts, if that's bringing guys up to the line similar to the way the Vikings do and just like trying to create an illusion of like who's coming, or just simply bringing more guys than they can block and make them figure it out. Like, I do feel good, especially with Jair back, about the corner, the secondary situation, especially with the way that X has been playing. Like, if we can get people to make little mistakes by forcing pressure up the middle, like, I feel super good about this defense. What I don't feel good about this defense is when we rush four and it's bland. And, like, that's what we saw the entire first half. And it's like that third and 18, it's like, we have to bring pressure there against a quarterback who, like Sam Darnold is playing within that system and he's playing really well. I'm not discounting that, but like, he's still not super good. Make Sam Darnold beat
true.
That's the play. Make Sam Darnold beat the blitz. And like, we didn't do it until the very end. And it's just like frustrating to sit there and watch it. And like, good point. Like, they only scored 3 points in the second half. Like, super hard to complain with that. But like, we've had that happen for years where it's like, oh, this defense, like, it did only gave up X amount of points. But like, those defenses suck.
Yeah.
I want to attack. Like, we were advertised as, Jeff Happy was advertised as like pressure. I want to see it. Like, just get creative, because that front four, it wasn't doing it. And they have two really good tackles. So against a different team, it can be different, but like, it was bland.
True, fair, all good points. However, I still think this is an issue with like humans in the world right now. Todd, how many sacks do we have against the Colts? The Titans.
We have like eight.
Eight. That was a week ago. Okay, so it is an issue. It was an issue in this game. We rushed for more than obviously we wanted to. The thing to think about too is Jair Alexander. So Jair Alexander was questionable going into this game, obviously did not play. He got injured on Thursday in practice. You've already got the game plan in. You can't really change it. So I think Halfley wanted to keep the confidence with his guys, with Stokes, with Ballantyne, who was getting called up, or God, I can't remember if he's on the 53 now or not. I think he's on the practice squad and was called up. And they stuck with that game plan because that's what they practiced all week. And then in the second half, when they saw it wasn't working, he reverted and did the more exotic things with like Keyshawn Nixon blitzing, Quay had a sack as well. So it wasn't great, but I still think it's a player, not plays.
I think it's like, it's a matter of... It's just my opinion that like, if it's not working,
true,
you have to change it. And like, from the start, you could see that it wasn't working. And then they just like, let it be. And then finally in the fourth quarter, we did something. Which is like, it's just too little too late for me to watch three quarters of that four-man rush of nothing and then go, And like, blitzing isn't... I don't... It'd be my opinion that you don't have to, like, game plan to blitz. Fucking send a dude. Like, it's not that hard to be like, oh, hey, you know, Jair's out. We're going to put a little more pressure on today. Like, that's not hard.
Yeah.
They're different calls, right? That's just, I don't know.
True. And I would also argue that, you know, Jordan Love had the three picks? Yeah, the three picks. Kraft had the fumble. I mean, that was late, so it's not like the defense was put in the best positions either, but... whatever, we'll see next week. But talking about the actual players, Rashawn Gary. So, you know, I like Rashawn. I still think he's getting a bit of a bad rap, but it's tough to know how to judge him. You know, in the loss to the Niners in the playoffs, he did not have a sack. However, he did force a pressure, which was on third down, which was huge. You know, turned it. They had to punt the ball, blah, blah, blah. He still makes plays in different ways. We saw last week how he, you know, caused the pressure that forced the quarterback to LVN, who had the sack. This week, too, on fourth down, he had that stop on Aaron Jones in the run game. That was huge. But at the same time, it's now one sack in 11 or 13 games, depending on if you want to count the playoffs, which is fine. You know, you're affecting the game, I guess. As a player, that's fine. But when you're getting paid like the likes of Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, even Za'Darius Smith. Like, you could sit back and watch the defense, and you would have at least one Z play per game. That's what we had with Gary in 2022. And that's just not what's happening. It's like this defense is so ready, and we have that one playmaker in the secondary in X for sure. But that front seven, it's like we're just waiting for Rashawn to be the guy that the offense has to focus on to be that game wrecker up front, and it's just not happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the injury that's causing this. I don't know. It was reasonable to say, like, the explosiveness, because he's an explosive player, right? And, like, coming off the injury, it's tough to just, like, hop back in. I know guys have said in the past, too, like, it's hard to, like, trust the knee type of thing, like, to really push it. We've got a whole offseason under our belt here, and we really need him to be him. And, like, is it that he doesn't have more moves? Is it that all he had was explosiveness, and now he doesn't have it? Like,
I want to stretch out his legs. I watch Rashawn Gary, and he's fast, he's explosive, he's huge, he uses his arms. But, and I've said this, you know, since he's been on the fucking team, but he's so stutter choppy. Step. He's so choppy with his legs. It's like, I just want to stretch them out. And you see these other guys who they have these long strides, and they yep. can just, you know, bend around the tackle. And I'm not
he's
even
not
asking
bendy
for that.
At all, yeah.
He's not bendy, but it's just, he's not fast enough to just, the bull rush isn't working at times. And there's times where it's almost like, because he keeps stomping around so much, I swear to God, it slows him up a bit. That's my dumb idiot brain, but
I feel like you got to move him around. I feel like put him in a, like, I feel like it was super dumb to leave him over there against Lane Johnson, not Taylor, against the Eagles, and like just have him run up into a brick wall all day. Like, no, switch some sides, like get him in a matchup with somebody who can't handle his power, and just let him go. Like, you can put LVN on the other side. It doesn't matter. Like, I don't know. That's my thought. And, like, I get that they're used to rushing on certain sides, and it's probably nice for them. But, like, I don't doubt Gary could rush up the middle. He has the power and the speed to just move around and be anywhere, and he's not a fun matchup for guys. But it just seems that, like, the right tackles have really got his number lately. And, like, we got to find a way. And maybe it's stunts. Maybe it's something. I said before the pod, I almost think, like, what if you put him in the wide nine? Put him way outside, like they put the Bosa brothers, way outside, and just, like, granted, they're faster, so it makes more sense. But, like, put him outside and just, like, a full head of steam, Rashawn, is kind of scary. Like, for any tackle. Like, he's a strong dude, so I don't know. I don't know what the fix is, but, like, again, this pass rush, we gotta do something.
Yeah, we'll see. I still trust Halfley, but Again, 8 sacks last week, 2 this week. I know the win rate is great, whatever. Other thing to talk about with the ends is we talked about how JJ had the second most snaps a couple weeks ago, and he was out snapping Preston. He had the least amount of snaps out of the 4. Gary Smith and Van Ness, then Enagbare were the snaps in declining order there, whatever. Moving on to defensive tackle, I don't have a ton to say here. Wyatt got banged up. That looked not very good.
We haven't had
an update.
Okay.
I think that it's an ankle, but the fact we haven't heard anything bad makes me think it's another high ankle sprain, so maybe he'll go on the IR, which, all things considered, isn't the worst. He's been our best, talking about the pass rush, he's been our best pass rusher on that front seven, so that's going to be tough.
Where's Kenny been?
We don't know. He's waiting for December. He's hibernating.
Yeah, it's hot. It's too hot for him.
That's what's tough. The two guys getting paid the most, that front seven, is Rashawn Gary and Kenny Clark coming off his fresh contract. So I'm sure
guys who haven't done much.
Yeah, I haven't seen Kenny at all this year. The only time, and I tweeted this out too.
How many times pressure against the Eagles?
Yeah. How many times was Kevin Harlan going to say that Aaron Jones and Kenny Clark are friends? He literally did it 3 times during the telecast. I don't know if he caught that or not.
While we're talking about announcers, Trent Green, oh my God. Don't give me another Trent Green game.
He kept
saying the wrong names. He would start a sentence. He's like Michael Scott. Sometimes I just start a sentence and I just don't know where it's going to go, and I figure it all along the way. It's like, Trent, if you don't have anything to say, just, it's okay to be quiet. We don't have to hear you talk between every play.
You could look at Trent Green at the beginning in his suit and know that he was boring. from the get-go. And Kevin Harlan's the
best. I guess not fine to be boring if you're a color guy. You have to say some interesting stuff. But it's like, dude, say the right thing. He was like, oh, another drop from Jaden Reed. And it was like, well, that was Dontayvion Wicks, but good try. Like, aren't you supposed to remember the numbers? Isn't that like the only thing you have to do before the game?
I will say this. I forgot who messed it up, but Harlan. Well, Harlan messed it up. The touchdown that Nixon allowed on Justin Jefferson.
Did he say Harlan, Ballantyne?
He said Ballantyne.
Yeah, and then I caught that.
In the Monday presser, Domofsky, this would be so embarrassing. He asked LaFleur about the touchdown that that Nixon allowed against Addison in the end zone. And Matt was like, that was Corey Ballantyne. I don't know what you're talking about. And that was awkward. And they're very similar looking players, and their numbers are just off one. So it was it was tough, especially with the telecast. You couldn't really
I feel like I can pick out Keyshawn anywhere on the field. He's like short and stocky. There's like not a whole lot of corners that are shaped like Keyshawn.
I had never thought of it until this week where I was being confused on who
their numbers who being similar doesn't help.
Yeah, sometimes just people get confused with who they are. But you're talking about Kevin Harlan there too, how Trent Green is bad and boring. I'm like, Kevin Harlan's enough for both. He's the play-by-play guy, and he's the color guy for how excited
I could just
he gets
listen
about shit.
To Kevin Harlan. I like him.
The best.
Just him. Trent, why should take a seat?
Especially with Al Michaels kind of declining the last few years. He used to be my guy. Kevin Harlan is officially... Yeah. The guy, and he's like the fucking second or third CBS guy. He should be like a primetime dude. Linebacker, not ton to talk about. Isaiah McDuffie dropped that pick. Cooper, most snaps of the season at 21, and then Quay,
let's go Cooper,
good enough. Just do that with Quay. Have him blitz at least a couple times a game. And
yeah, he had the one sack.
Yeah, I'll take it. Corner, Stokes beat a couple times. That's just standard. I don't know, he's kind of just the whipping boy in the secondary, it seems like. Keyshawn beat bad on the Addison second touchdown. We talked about that.
Keyshawn got beat. They were anytime, it felt like anytime they could figure out that they were in man,
yeah,
they picked on Keyshawn.
Yeah.
They'd run across her, and it was like Keyshawn just literally, he can't run with dudes. That's the problem. Like, I don't know. It's tough.
The blitz is cool, at least. What's that? Was it
the blitz
2 weeks?
Great.
2 weeks in a row, or he's done that twice this year? Another shout out to Ryan Wood, who on the Packer News podcast, whatever, said that he's never seen Keyshawn do this before. He did it earlier this season, and then even last season with Joe Barry, he did have a sack against the Chiefs, I think. But Ryan Wood, you fucking suck. Keyshawn Nixon, yeah, we talked about how they look like each other. Oh, remember Rasul Douglas? Remember that? Remember him?
He's in Buffalo.
Yeah, would be. Remember, you know who Tyron Hooper is? Hopper? We don't even know his last name, really. You know him? Who would you rather have right now?
Hopper.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. You got to get young. You got to get rid of that fucking contract. Just talk to Ken Ingles. That's the only thing that matters is fucking cap hits. Safety. X had the pick, but it obviously actually wasn't one. And Javon Bullard, I still like him, too. Did you see that play where he came backside and chased down the run for the stop in the backfield?
Yes.
Very cool. I really like the... You got anything to say about the secondary? It was a pretty bad game overall.
It was a bad game overall, but it's Keyshawn getting picked on, and then it's Ballantyne. Like, what do you do, right? It's like,
right.
And you're going up against two studs. Actually, they have three good wideouts. Who's their third wideout? He's good, too.
They had Naylor or whatever, and then Powell.
I think it's Naylor.
Powell's good. The second year guy. But yeah, they've got some decent wideouts.
Anyways, I mean, that's a tough one, and like they're running the ball a lot too, so they're having success short and in the intermediate. And it's like, how are you going to contain Justin Jefferson? It's just not that's a tough day at the office.
Special teams, actually quite a bit to talk about. Daniel Whelan, man.
Whelan and dealing.
Whelan and dealing. I mean, we talked about Jaden Reed and that touchdown changing the game. Whelan's punt really was it.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
An absolute fucking boomer. And again, Kevin Harlan, the GOAT, calling it ahead of time, saying, oh, it's up in the Wisconsin sun. And then sure enough, the punt returner pulls a Keyshawn and tries to catch the ball over his head, but he's not as good as Keyshawn, so he fumbles it. Bo Melton tries to make it a touchdown, but the smart ones knew that you cannot advance a muff punt like that. And either way, that was pretty fucking
worst
cool.
Worst rule in football. Change it. It never happens. It's fun.
Yeah, I don't like it, and special teams touchdowns are great. It was a long time that it took before they said it wasn't a touchdown, I had thought, watching
right.
live.
I feel like this happens every time there's like a muffed kick returned, or a muffed punt return, is it gets ruled a touchdown immediately, and then the head ref has to come over and go, guys, if you read the rule book, you can't, you can't advance a muffed punt. It's a dead ball.
He's the kid at the end of class. He's like, teacher, you forgot
to ask for the homework.
And I'll throw Goody a bone here. You know, I've really gotten him, if you've been listening to the podcast since the beginning, for fucking up the special teams with it being, you know, not ever really finding a long snapper, using a draft pick on a punter, on a kicker, trading for a punter in 2021, and none of that working out. It's just hilarious and great that the one specialist that he found that's a difference maker is the fucking Irish punter, who we were talking about this time during training camp last year, how he was practicing in his kitchen with his mom, throwing him paper towels so he could practice the operation of setting a kick. Like, that's where he was a year ago. And now he's one of the better punters in the league. All the draft picks on other guys, nope. Sometimes you just need to find a fucking UFL punter.
What if he's the problem for the kicks? Like, what if his holds are bad?
I wouldn't be shocked if that were true, but there's been so much dialogue of that in the past where I don't think that's what it is. And I
don't think that's what it is, but like, what? How funny would that be if it's like, well, oh, we finally got a punter.
Yeah,
that can punt.
Well, that's what it was with Bajorquez, because he was a pretty decent punter the first half of the year, but he was the reason why Crosby had his worst season in like 10 years, because he couldn't hold well. There was multiple times where you saw Crosby like mean mugging him after a missed kick, which is just kind of funny, especially for how, you know, well-mannered Mason had always been. But yeah, talking about that too, so Narvison misses the two kicks. Not our baby boy from...
Would those have mattered?
Let me do the math.
Lost by three. He missed two field goals. Field goals are worth... What are they worth now? They're 3 points. Okay.
3 points, yep. After the game, to his credit, he did say, well, what? We lost by 2 points. I missed two field goals. You got to put that on me. And he did say that the operation was clean and it wasn't the holder or anyone's fault. So,
wow.
Good. I don't know. He's the worst kicker in the NFL. At the same time, I don't believe anyone has kicked more, or he's at, like, I said the same shit last week. He's top five in
the
kicks.
The Dallas kicker kicks like three times in a drive, I think. He kicks a lot.
Hey, he hasn't missed any extra points, which is nice, I guess. But missing a 37-yarder, as soon as he missed that, I was like, oh, Narv dog, we got to fucking take
I wouldn't even pay attention, because it was such a short kick. I was like, I like was like only half watching.
And immediately, then he
doofed it. And it was like, what?
Has he hit the bar three times? It's two or three.
It's at least two.
Yeah, which...
It was week one.
Yeah.
And this week, was it?
Did he have a bar down? He might have. I don't know. There's no way to find this out. But I don't know. We'll see there. LaFleur still says he has confidence in him. He always misses wide right, which, I mean, at least that seems correctable. But he's
an Ander. Ander's always missed. Was it wide?
He was left. He was left. But Matt says that he hits everything in practice. He's still confident in him. Maybe he's just trying to, you know, talk him up more than he did Anders when he talked about, you know, last year in the playoffs, how he prays, whatever, before he goes out there. So we'll see. I don't know. The options are just not great out there. There's Brandon McManus, who has his own baggage. And then Bill Huber even wrote how, talking about like the best available kickers. It's like all UFL guys and then Anders Carlson. Like, he is one of the best kickers out there. And
I mean, Brandon McManus is probably the most skilled out there, but nobody wants Brandon McManus right now.
Yeah, we'll see. I wonder if he's going to get any workouts this week, and maybe he'll get signed to some other
team.
That's
like a guy that feels like the Chiefs would pick up.
Sure. Well, there was...
They'd be like, wow.
You remember Punt God? Ariza or whatever. He was like the best punting prospect ever. And then during the draft process, or maybe after, there were all the terrible, terrible allegations that came out, which fell through, and now he's punting for the Buffalo Bills. So I don't know. I don't know how laws work and shit. But yeah, Braden Arvidsson. I don't know if he'll be. It sounds like he'll be the kicker this week, but it's getting to the point where maybe we have to just trade for a competent guy, or you know, sign.
Yeah, what's a kicker worth? Do we trade for a kicker? Like, what is it worth?
Well, that one shitty kicker for the Browns was like a fifth or sixth or seventh round pick. I don't know. Justice Mosqueda keeps like sarcastically saying, send the Cowboys a second for Aubrey. I don't know. Honest, at this point, I would give up. I would give up a third round pick for a very, 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 very good kicker.
Oh,
I don't know who that is.
You'd give up a third round pick for an NFC championship? That's basically what you're saying. Because like that's what we would have.
Yeah.
Having a competent kicker, though, in the regular season, not as important in the postseason. That could be the difference.
Unfortunately, yes. That's why I'm still like in... Oh, Rob Domofsky said this. He pretty much said there's no way Andres is coming back and no way Crosby's coming back. He's been wrong on stuff in the past, but he's talking to guys at the front office, so it seems like you can trust him on that.
Yeah, and Crosby, I mean, that dude's done.
I would take Crosby. Crosby's automatic from 45 yards in. Just give me that. Just give me that. If he ever misses one of them, then fine. Goodbye, sayonara. The Silver Fox, but whatever. Yeah, we talked about the game a lot there. We will have Take News.
Football time. Take News.
All right, Take News for the week. I figure we can talk about this, and we'll punt on Josh Jacobs versus Aaron Jones. We don't need to. I've talked about that enough, but... Hey, probably the third year in a row, Davante Adams. Davante Adams came out today, not even requested a trade. He pretty much said like he wouldn't mind if he got traded. kind of funny to do. Opening it up right now, I think it's something like $13 or $16 million he's owed for the year if you were to trade for him right now. Todd, should the Green Bay Packers trade for Davante Adams? Christian Watson's out for a couple of games. Should we do it? No.
No. I think we've potentially got a couple dud contracts on the defense that we talked about a little earlier. We don't need to add more money. We need to be smart with our money. And I think we got a wide receiver core that is only making leaps and bounds this year, and I'm excited for it, and I don't think you add Davante. He would be an addition,
true,
but he would stunt someone's growth. And that's right. What I don't like. Like, this may sound dumb, maybe I'm an idiot, but like, for as much as Dontavian Wicks fucking sucked on Sunday, I still want him out there. I don't care. I want him out there. I want him to get over this, and I want him to be who he was in December last year. I just don't care. Like, it doesn't bother me as much. And like, getting Davante in there, the one thing would be is having Davante, like, I know he's got like the Jordy work ethic. Like, that would be the one thing, is like, bring in a pro. But like, I would say you could probably bring in a pro, like a Mercedes Lewis guy, but like the wide receiver equivalent that's not going to cost a lot of money. Like, if that's what you're looking for, you could probably find that somewhere else. I don't know. It's just too much money. That's the problem.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't even think the money's the issue. I believe we have around $9 million in cap space right now, which would be very easy to just move some money around so that you could absorb Devontae's contract. But
then, like, who are you sitting for him?
Exactly. That's the thing. If, say, Watson, let's say his ACL was torn, and then let's say fucking Bo Melton or someone else, like, we would need kind of two injuries, because it really is, who would you take off the field? Because Jaden Reed, you're not taking him off. Dobbs, I mean, maybe Devontae's a good replacement for Dobbs, but it's not like Dobbs has been an issue, and it's not like this team isn't explosive. I mean, we fucking scored 22 points in the fourth quarter here, so it would be nice, it would be fun, but here's the
real negative. Jordan would be forced to throw at Davante. The beauty of where this offense is today is that it's Aaron Rodgers in 2011. He can throw to anybody at any time, and the defense doesn't know where the ball is going. You go back and you look at what Aaron and Davante had to be in like 2019 and 2020. Were those the 2 years that they had the huge years together?
2021. Sorry, 2022 is the first year without Devontae.
Okay, so 20 and 21 were the huge years.
Yep.
But everybody knew where the ball was going. And, like, I don't think that's a good way. That doesn't pay off in the playoffs, if that makes sense. Like, when they know you've got one guy to throw it to, it's like, eh, this sucks. I just don't want that mentality creeping in because, like, we talked about a little bit earlier, I think, about how forcing the ball to Christian Watson,
mm-hmm.
we don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you put Devontae out there who can run every route in the tree. He's going to get fed the ball also. And I don't – it's also – that's just not a good dynamic.
Yeah. My argument would be, and still it's not like I'm fucking calling to trade for Devontae, but just going against what you're saying there. I think this offense might be better with Christian Watson out. We might have been talking about this before we started recording, but it's just he drops balls. You know, if we remember last year, the offense got a lot better when he wasn't there. I know he totally, you know, changes the dynamic of what's going on offense.
Yeah, that's why
spread him.
That's why you're wrong, is because he changes the offense, the dynamic of, like, the take the top off. All those Romeo Doubs in routes, the deep in routes, like, those are there because the safeties have to play back.
Sure. They
have to be scared.
Sure. Well,
Milton's also fast, but, like, saying that it's a better team without Watson, like, you know that's a little crazy.
No, because you can look at last year and the second half of last year is when the offense turned it on, when Watson was out with his injury. And when he came back against the 49ers, we had the pick to him. I don't know if there was two in that game, but he didn't do a hell of a lot, and Dontavian Wicks played a lot less in that game. And to go against your Devontae Adams take saying, oh, I don't want it to turn into an offense where you're forcing it to him. It was fucking 2020. I get so upset when people bitch about, like, the way we went out in 2021 against the Niners. Yes, it did suck, and yes, he was focusing in on Devontae. But look at what that fucking receiving core was. It was Alan Lazard, MVS, who was banged up. I mean, who the fuck? EQ, I think, was still on the team then. Robert EQ. Tunyon. And now we're looking at the team, and it's completely different. You're not going to be having to force it to Devontae Adams when you have our baby boy, Tucker Kraft, obviously number one target on this team. Jaden Reed, Doubs, Wicks. So I think it's different there. Either way, whatever, we talked about this part too much. The real question, should we have traded Devontae Adams in the first place? It essentially worked out to be we traded away Devontae Adams for Quay Walker and Christian Watson. And that's actually giving more credit because we gave up an additional draft pick to move up for Christian Watson. Would you rather have Devontae Adams on this team right now or Quay Walker and Christian Watson?
Before the season, I would have said Quay and Christian. The Quay situation, although I still think if he's used correctly, he's effective, but, like, Quay is looking like an off-ball linebacker that's not going to get a big second contract.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it feels like, and that's the tough thing. It's like, because Devontae's a generational player, I believe. Like, that dude would be putting up big numbers today still, and, like, since he's gone, if he was with the Packers, and since he's gone to LA, or not LA, Las Vegas, there's just nothing there. There's nobody throwing the ball, which is the problem. So it's a tough one. It's more of a, like I said, if you had asked me 4 weeks ago, I would have said, for sure, I'd rather have Christian Watson, just because, like, having a couple dynamic guys, and then, like, you look at the money on rookie contracts versus, mm-hmm. I mean, and you get a fifth-year option, and so, I mean, there's other things to look at there, too, but, like,
a lot, man, to look at.
With Devontae, like, still being on the team, and, like, it would be interesting to see what the receivers that we did get would look like with that leader in the room, because, like, last year it was kind of like the blind leading the blind. There just wasn't really probably a great leader in the room, so I don't know. That's a tough one. It's a toss-up for me.
Well, we talked about it last year, too, when we talked about this exact thing, but how the Packers use a lot of Devontae Adams tape from when he was with the team. So, like, all these guys have watched him, you know, work in the system before, and they still were using that tape, like, in the actual receiver room. The thing for me with this, because it's a whole butterfly effect thing, because I would say yes. In a vacuum, yes. I would take Devontae over Christian Watson and Quay Walker. He's just a difference maker. And if you look at last year, how much sooner would this offense have gelled if we had Devontae from the get-go?
Right.
But then you have to go the whole actual butterfly effect. Because if we had signed Devontae, we're probably making the playoffs in 2022 with him and Aaron Rodgers. And then I don't know if Goody and the organization, if Mark Murphy wouldn't allow him to, but to move on from Jordan Love, then maybe they'd probably trade Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Right? Because the way you have to answer this question, if you are on the Devontae side, is I would have rather paid Devontae Adams than Aaron Rodgers.
So what you're really asking is, would you rather have Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love? That's a real question.
That's the thing. That's why
I'd rather have Jordan Love.
Right. That's the thing. So when you come back to it, it's actually, I'm glad we traded him because then we wouldn't have Jordan Love right now, you know? And the most revealing thing, the first
fucking
time I've ever
big
really.
Brain.
Yeah. The only time I can ever remember a GM for the Packers, Ted Thompson or, you know, Goody, those are the only ones in my lifetime. Well, I guess
Richard Sherman.
Goody basically said the year after they drafted Christian Watson, I think it was maybe midseason last year, that they wouldn't have drafted him if they didn't move on from Devontae, which was the first time ever I can remember the front office saying that they went against best player available, technically. So I just thought that was interesting. With that, I'm not going to have a drop, but SVP for the week? Everyone's favorite segment. Hey, I'm sure you guys were like, there's no way they're going to find shit, vomit, and piss once again. Guess what? I did. And leading it off.
Do you have all three?
All three. I'm a little upset with myself that I didn't think of this shit earlier. Najee Davenport. You remember Najee Davenport?
Oh, yeah.
I think, shout out Braden Narveson. I believe he wore number 44. But do you remember what the big offseason thing was with off the field issue with Najee was?
I do not.
So this is a story from Andrew Brandt. This from a couple of years ago. I think a lot of people knew this, but this is a more documented version of it. One July morning, I received a call from a number with a Miami area code. Never a good sign, knowing many of our players spent time in South Florida. A Miami Shores police detective informed me that one of our players, who had listed the Packers as his employer and given my name as a contact, had been arrested. Naturally, I asked why. I will never forget the next line from the detective. Said in a completely matter-of-fact manner, quote, he broke into a woman's dormitory room and defecated in her closet. So, you never heard about Davenport shitting in a hamper?
No, I don't think I have. I would have remembered that.
Yeah, apparently he had some nicknames too, like the Crapper and all these different things. Going on with the story, he said the call set off an interesting couple of days during the dead month. The player was new to the team, yet handled the inevitable ribbing well. I later found him to be an interesting and articulate guy, popular in the locker room, despite his messy, start. So there you go, Najee Davenport shitting in the hamper. I'm surprised I didn't think of that sooner. But hey, week three of SVP. I like how I said I wanted to like alleviate my load for the podcast by not having Is Kyle an Idiot? Plus we've had so many trivia questions, and now I'm forcing myself to find shit, vomit, and piss every
week. It's like a fun new thing, right? So you're at least like that energy yeah. is like more fresh,
as experimental as you possibly could be for with a segment on a podcast. Moving on to what's this one? Vomit. Hey, shout out to DuckDuck. Is it DuckDuckGo? Is that what it's called?
That's like the not Google search engine.
Yeah, Google sucks now. I've said it before, you can't find anything anymore. This is for vomit. Green Bay, Wisconsin. Green Bay Packers linebacker A.J. Hawk said last week that he was not afraid to admit that he threw up. So this was back in 2005? No, later than that. 2005, it was the Packer team activity. Okay. You know, usually during training camp, they go paintballing or bowling or something.
Oh, well, sure.
This time they went out like flying. Everyone was like going around in like dual planes, whatever. People were flying up, whatever.
Yep.
So Packers linebacker A.J. Hawk said last week he was not afraid to admit that he threw up, quote, multiple times. He said during a 50-minute flight of a lifetime with a U.S. Navy Blue Angel. Quote, I'll show you the video, Hawk told reporters the day after his ride. It'll be gross for you guys, but they'll put it out. I think the Packers have the footage, which is kind of funny to think about. And he said on Monday, Packers.com posted a video, which thankfully did not include the footage of Hawk lunch coming up the wrong way. Quote, I was fighting not to puke for like 40 minutes of it. And once we got down and were taxing, that's where my second puke came, Hawk said. You think I'd be better on the ground? I was fighting. I was struggling. I was rough all night and came back. It was amazing, though. So there you go. AJ Hawk, he puked a lot of times when he was in a plane.
I think that's like, you have to puke in those. Like that, if you're, was it the Blue Angels?
Yeah.
They're like professional, they're like naval pilots or whatever, and then they're pretty like much professional, the best of the best, yeah. Just fucking around in planes. Like that's what they do. Like those are like dirt bike guys who got in a plane, right? Yeah. Like motocross guys that got in a plane. So they're like, they're scary. And like, they're taking you up there going like, we're going to make this guy throw up. Yeah. I got a bunch of football players in the back. We're going to put them in one by one and make them yak. Like, that's the game. So you don't have a chance at that point.
When asked if he would do it again, he said, I'd do it today. He said, I'd go back in a heartbeat. I might get more sick. So, hey, there you go, Trooper. That's always, you know, AJ Hawk, he wasn't really a difference maker, but he was always there. And look at that. He wasn't afraid to be in the plane.
He was
either.
A difference maker. That was rude.
No, I would
consistency makes a difference.
Okay, that's like me talking to my parents about like my B average in high school or something. Last thing to talk about, piss, of course. This one was a little tougher. Again, I'm searching. I just keep getting Mike Daniels piss himself. Nope, he's saying it's about Mike Daniels. Well, this was an ESPN article written in like 2016. From Matt Bowen, a former safety of the Packers. The name of the story? That time I wet the bed at the Packers team hotel. So he talks about this story. So he's it was a home game. And this is back Mike Sherman was the coach. I assume they've changed it now. But back then, even for home games, they would have players stay in hotels just so that
Rodgers has talked about that too. So McCarthy might have done that at one point.
That's right. Maybe they don't. I don't know what they do.
I don't think they do with LaFleur anymore, because that was one of the things that it got brought up as, is that they are allowed to stay in their beds, which gives them more. Like that was a big Rodgers thing at one point. Anyways, keep going.
That makes sense. I'm sure that's what got him in all the vets' good graces when he first took over. So Matt Bowen, like I said, former safety for the Packers. He was only with them for 2 years, but said he pissed the bed in the middle of the night and wasn't sure why. Quote, my sheets soaked. The shorts I was sleeping in drenched. The comforter, the same. I was 8 years old all over again. Waking up in my own pee, I had wet the bed. He then goes on to talk about how he was, you know, he was sharing a room with Aaron Campman at the time, too. And he didn't want Aaron Campman to know that he pissed the bed. So he went to the bathroom, like took his clothes off, got a shower, took the sheets off the bed, and then he left the hotel room looking for the laundry room. He finds it, and it's 3 a.m., and he said it's closed. So he can't bring the dirty sheets into the laundry room. So what's the next best thing? He goes outside, throws it in the dumpster. Well, he realizes when he goes outside, he cannot get back in.
Locked,
and apparently it was cold out as well, and he was wearing nothing but the towel. Said he went to the front desk, and he told the lady, hey, I play for the Packers. I need to get back to my room. And the lady wasn't having it, so they had to call Packers security, and eventually they're like,
yeah, he does.
Yeah, he's going to get cut after this year, but for right now, he's with us. Eventually got back up to his room. He said, at the time, I didn't tell any players on the team about my bedwetting, not even Campman, who, like any person, asked why the heck I was sleeping on towels that morning. Matt Bowen said, he replied and just said, don't worry about it. So there you go. That's SVP for the week. I don't know if we'll have it again, but
I believe in you.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad that there was piss. I was surprised that he was so open about this story. I found it interesting, but it's an odd thing to be so open about.
Yeah, it is a little odd to be that open about pissing the bed as a grown man.
No, we're not going to get into it. Stump Spenny for the week. Todd, do you have my Stump Spenny question from One Billy?
I do.
Cool.
Okay. Let me just... Stump Spenny. Okay. Josh Jacobs is on pace for just under 1,400 yards rushing this season. who is the last Packers running back with at least that many rushing yards in a single season? So the last running back to have at least 1,400 yards in a single season.
God. I don't
think Aaron... Bonus points if you can get the year.
I don't think Aaron Jones ever got that high. I know A.J. Dillon actually led the team in rushing yards a couple of years ago. God. Did Ryan Grant do it? I don't think Eddie ever got that high. And Amon Green seems too long. I don't... Oh, man.
What if I give you the year?
If you give me the year, I'd probably you'll get it. Yeah.
What if I give you the yards?
Sure.
1883.
Amon Green. That's Amon Green in 2000. Okay. Was it 2003?
Yeah, wow.
There we go. That was too much.
Yeah, cuz it's a really big number. So as I was looking at it, I was like, I don't know.
Billy is listening right now screaming at his TV cuz he's watching for some reason wondering why you gave away his excellent trivia question. Okay, well, you know, I fucked myself over a couple weeks ago, so I will take that one without much remorse. Ready for the game preview?
Yes, sir.
Cool, because that's what we're doing next. We are playing the, not St. Louis Rams, the LA Rams, who are 1-3 after losing to the Bears. Packers are a 3.5-point favorite. God, that seems like it should be more than that. Over-under of 48. This game is in LA on CBS. I couldn't find who the announcers are. I saw someone tweet Dan Orlovsky.
I don't think we'll know until tomorrow.
We usually know by now. Usually Matt Schneidman tweets it out on Tuesdays. I'm not sure where he gets it.
I thought broadcast stuff comes out on Wednesdays.
Announcers come out on Tuesdays or Mondays, but the map doesn't come out until Thursdays or Wednesdays.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, Rams 1-3 after losing to the Bears last week, unfortunately. Rams on offense. Stafford, still the quarterback. Not sure how he's still doing it. He's an old man. It's kind of weird how he's...
He's like the oldest QB aside from Rodgers, isn't he?
Pretty sure. Kirk might be up there too, now that I think of it.
Maybe.
But yeah, I think Stafford is the guy. Either way, it felt like he was going to retire like 1 or 2 years ago, and he's still just digging her in there, especially this year where it is tough. His top two targets, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, are both out. Puka, I know, is on the IR. Cooper, it doesn't fucking matter. We don't care about them. Both their preferred starters at guard are on IR. Their entire offensive line has been banged up this year. I know the protection for that team has not been good. Thank you for copying my friend. His top targets in this game will probably be the rookie Jordan Whittington, fifth-round pick, I believe, and then Tutu Atwell, who's a former second-round pick, along with DeMarcus Robinson, who's been with the team for a couple of years. So kind of a mishmash of wideouts for them. Kieran Williams is their number one back. He had a huge year last year. This year he's been a little bit slower, only averaging 3.5 yards per carry, but that average has gone up just about every single week, and he's also had a touchdown in every single game. Rams defense is not good after losing, I almost said Sam Darnold, Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. Oof, that was tough on the brain to not say Darnold there. But yeah, defense sucks. Their best pass rushers are Byron Young, the second-year player, who has 2 sacks, and then Jared Verse, the rookie, who has 1. They allow over 400 passing yards per game, apparently. I kind of rushed putting these stats together, but that's what I saw. They're also bad at stopping the run. The Bears, who aren't great at running the ball. I mean, DeAndre Swift was averaging like 2 yards a carry, I think, going into the game last week, and the Bears ran at 4.7 yards per, which is pretty good. Through 4 games, the Rams are 32nd in the league in allowing 165.5 yards per game on the ground. So you can kind of pick whichever way you want to attack this defense. I was going to say Joe Barry is with them, but no, that's where he came from, the Rams. I believe he's with Miami this year. We swapped inside linebacker coaches, or linebacker coaches, I should say. But that's it for the Rams. I don't know. We got them at a great time last year with Brett Rypien, who I think is on the Vikings, actually. He's on a team right now, which I couldn't believe because that was the worst quarterback performance I have ever seen watching football last year. Like, they just never had a chance, and that's when we were really, really reeling. So, and this is like the third or fourth year we played the Rams in a row, which is pretty crazy for a non-divisional opponent. But, Todd, what do you think about the Rams?
Feels like this defense is exactly what we need to knock all the rust off. Yeah. 31st in points and 31st in yards. Like, let's do it. Let's go down, get some tutties, clean everything up. Really, this next stretch, who do we play down the stretch here? There's like three not so tough games, I think, in a row. I've got the schedule pulled up here. So we got
the Rams, Cardinals.
We got Cardinals, Texans. Okay. Yeah. Jaguars. I guess I was thinking four. And then we play the Lions.
It's not bad, 3rd. Though.
It's not a bad. I don't feel bad about it. The Cardinals are heating up a little bit, seems like, but
they're always a weird team.
Yeah, that's a weird team. But anyways, I don't know. I feel good about the offense going up. I mean, Packers offense, I think, is like, it depends on what metrics you want to track, which ones you think are important. But it feels like a top five offense, which is wild to say with Jordan Love out and how bad he looked at the beginning of last Sunday. Like, and that offense is still, let's call it top seven at the very least offense. Like, regardless of what metrics you're tracking, this is a top 10 offense.
In the at league. Least top seven.
With Malik Willis at the helm for two weeks.
Uh-huh.
It's like, this is a pretty interesting, like, what could this team be? What are the weapons like? It seems like we could be really balanced, which would be great. I don't love the 54 passes, but also don't love throwing the ball 12 times with Malik. So it's like, if we could just get balance, like, this could be a really dangerous team, especially schematically with, like, what LaFleur has shown he can do in the run game, be a lot of fun. So maybe this offense kind of evolves. Maybe we settle down a little bit, clean things up, and in the next couple of weeks, things are looking pretty good on offense.
And with that, too, talking about the offense, it's not even, like, a matchup thing. It's more like, I think we really good offense. But we do lead the league in explosive plays, too, which are runs over 10 or passes over 20 yards. We have the most in the league. And like you said, that's with Malik Willis in half of the games. I think he has, like, four explosive plays running the ball, even. So, yeah, excited to see that. I don't know. I'm still thinking about L.A. God. So when we played there in 2018, was that in, like, the Rose Bowl? It must have been. I don't think that was in the new stadium. Yeah.
They were in the Coliseum. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, because that was
I want to say they were there for 2 years?
Well, yeah, one or two, something like that. I guess I don't know where else they would have played. I just remember that being you remember the things that came out of that game?
When we played in the Coliseum? No, yeah. I don't.
That was the Ty Montgomery running the ball out of the end zone and fumbling it, and then, and then literally getting cut the next day. That was like the worst. Because even Bostic, they waited a couple of weeks until they cut him. I don't think they did that since like Amon Carroll, when he had a terrible performance on Monday Night Football, and Mike Sherman cut him the next day. It was the coach and the GM. That would feel even worse for both of them. But it was the Ty Montgomery fumble game, and that was the first game where Jaire Alexander looked like a dude. I think he had a pick.
Okay.
And because who was the big receiver for the Rams then? I think that was before Cooper Kupp was a guy. Brandon Cooks. I think he was on Brandon Cooks. I think that was, I could be very wrong. Yeah,
but yeah, that might be true.
Anyways, back to today's NFL predictions.
What do you think about that offense? It seems like hobbled. Like, I'm not worried about our defense.
Yeah, and especially the past couple weeks. I mean, this should be a good get-back game for getting pressure. Stafford is old, falling apart. He's a statue back there. His offensive line is banged up and not very talented anyways. The receivers aren't great. I can't remember who their tight end is right now off the top of my head. Maybe if they, I only really see us losing if, like, they run it a shit ton, or maybe Jaire and Valentine are both out again. If that happens, I'd be a little bit worried, just because Stafford is that wily vet who can make something out of nothing, and he does have one of the better arms in the NFL. I don't know. Score prediction, I'll jump right into it. I do still have the Packers winning 34-21. I just think, like you said, it's going to be an offensive explosion, perhaps. You know, we're all warmed up. All that rust is off. We'll see what happens if Dontavian Wicks can fix his drop skis, but yes, 34-21. Yep.
What were the betting odds for this one? I didn't even look
three
at
and
that.
A half. Packers are -3.5. I guess we are on the road, so that's technically 6.5 points.
Sure.
Okay, so that makes, I guess it's not awful. Yeah.
More sense. And 47.5 for the over-under.
Yeah. Or 48.
Let me see. So Billy had 30-17 Green Bay.
Okay.
That was his, which I think, I mean, I'm kind of along the lines of that. I think we're 28-17 is what I've got. So I think, I don't know. This is a tune-up game, and I think it dies down at the end kind of the way that like the Vikings did. You're just kind of like playing ball at the end, getting some guys reps and stuff. I think we go up early, and this just becomes a little bit of a bloodbath. So
we shall see. I was going to say something dumb there, but now it's gone. Bold prediction. Bold prediction for this game. You know, we talked about Ty Montgomery a little bit there. There's been a lot of talk about... Oh, God. We didn't even talk about the fucking onside kick last week. What did you think of the punt? What did you think of the punt?
So when he was holding the ball, I was like, oh, my God. Is he drop kicking this?
Yeah. And then
I was like, there's no way. Because it was like there was a little bit of like delay at the beginning where they were like getting people set up in the right spots. And I was like, he must have the tee in his like left hand and we can't see it. And he's going to set it down and he's going to tee it up. I don't know about a drop kick. There's just too much, like, there's a reason nobody does the drop kicks anymore. It's because there's too many variables. I'm, like, even more of a proponent of, like, have you seen the guys do the knuckleball where you lay the ball not on its tip, you lay it on its side, and you just boot a knuckleball? Like, I'm even more of a proponent of that because I feel like you could kick it consistently. But it wasn't the worst one. Even whoever caught it bobbled it.
Yeah, but true.
He did bobble it, so I don't know. Maybe if you're good enough at it, it just seems like too many variables to drop the ball and then kick it. Like, it just seems like you're not going to get that end over end, that bounce that you kind of want from it is what people typically want. But maybe it's a different angle. I don't know.
I love it. I like it because it's different and it's unexpected. And it's not like, I don't know if other teams are going to like... get like coach themselves up expecting it.
Well, and didn't so I feel like not a lot of people know this. You can kick a drop kick for an extra point or a field goal.
So that's what I was going to get at here too. So this was apparently, allegedly, the first drop kick since Doug Flutie back in like 2004, 2005, 2006 on an extra point.
Patriots have done it since then.
I think it was Doug Flutie. You can look it up, but maybe Brady did, but I know Doug Flutie was one of the last ones. The one before that, before Doug Flutie, was Scooter McLean back in the 1940s was the most previous.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, it's Doug Flutie.
Wait, what was that again?
Doug Flutie.
No.
That's what I said, Doug Flutie. Okay.
Anyway, Scooter McLean was the guy to have a drop kick before that, played in the league in the 40s, and he was the head coach of the Green Bay Packers before Vince Lombardi. So there you go. A little bring that full circle here. But
What year was this? 2006. Okay.
Okay, there you go. I was off by a year on that. I like the drop kick, though. LaFleur said that it did work in practice the week before that, which is one of those things where it's like, well, it worked, but... that gets me more worried because that means that our hands team wasn't able to recover a onside kick in practice. So I don't know. We'll see. But anyways, back to my bold prediction, what we were getting at there.
Yeah,
I have a return touchdown in this game. I don't know. Let's just see. I'm thinking about Ty Montgomery and his stupid return one of the last times we were in L.A. and all the talk of, you know, the new return this year. Maybe it happens with Keyshawn. Maybe it happens with Jaden. I don't know, but I have a kick or punt return touchdown in this game.
All right, Billy has Josh Jacobs will have both a rushing and receiving touchdown.
I guess that's bold enough.
And we can't force him to be more bold because he texted to me. So it's not.
And he's not here.
Yeah.
He did. You see, he broke the record last week, too, for most receptions in the NFL without a touchdown in a career.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. I thought he was going to break it for a second there, but it did not happen. He didn't score last week on a pass.
I want to say 400-plus yards passing for Jordan Love.
Sure. You know, last week, I was him and Han.
Attainable.
It would be cool if it happened 4 weeks in a row. I mean,
he'd have to throw the ball a ton again.
That's a very good point, yeah.
And we would have to... because his average completion percentage is right around 50%.
I know. I just always assume. If we're at 50, I assume 55 every single week with him.
He was just at 60 last week. So it was 50 the first week. Hurt for 2 weeks, comes back, 60. Maybe we can expect an increase in 10% again, 70%. Yeah. Maybe that would be bold. 70% completion percentage.
You see Goff last night, fucking 18 for 18, and he caught a touchdown too.
And he caught one? That was,
that was pretty cool. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I feel good. If we lose this week, then maybe I'd start to worry, but I still feel really, really good.
Depends on how we lose, but yeah, I would agree. If we lose this week, that doesn't feel good.
And then we have the Cardinals. Man, that would be, I don't know. We don't need to go down that road. But with that, everyone's favorite part of the podcast, if you could please leave a review on iTunes or comment on Spotify. I think you can leave a rating on Spotify without a review, but hey, you can comment on Spotify too. And very cool, we actually got a handful of comments on Spotify this week, starting things off. I'm going to just say first names because I don't know if people want their full names out there, but I think it might be displayed on Spotify anyways. First one, Matt. I think we just said, just comment something to get the algorithm going. He did comment, piss, vomit, shit, which I think is what we literally requested. I think he's the one over in Europe, which is pretty cool. I always like, maybe I'm wrong, but that's pretty cool.
Oh, across the pond?
Mm-hmm. I don't know how Europe works. We were talking about that before too. Great Britain, Ireland. I'm just like, it's all just Europe. I shouldn't say this, but I've already started. Maybe I said this before on here too. You could convince me that Spain is in South America. I know it's in Europe.
Oh, that's weird because it's not. It's very weird.
But just like Spain, I'm like, this seems kind of fun. This seems like whatever. I don't know. Another comment.
Are you saying that because they speak Spanish in Mexico?
I don't know how my brain works. I'm just, okay. When I think of Spain, I think of, I don't fucking know. It's somehow this could be offensive. Big JPS 45, I don't think that's his birth name, commented number one Packers podcast for SVP chat. Very true. Bring back Hank for the bye week. I did reply to him, the eye emoji, as in I wrote in the text eye emoji. Maybe we'll get him back. Maybe we won't.
You weren't able to insert the emoji. You had to write eye emoji.
I looked to see on the keyboard if it would give me the option. It didn't, so I just wrote I emoji. Next one, Chase says, bring back the dumb producer guy from a few seasons ago. He was the best. I assume he's talking about Hank on that. It can't be Andrew. I don't think anyone wants Andrew back.
Well, and I mean, because was Andrew labeled, was he a producer?
No, he was on the show for season 4.
Yeah, so yeah, it has to be 4. Hank, because Hank was the producer.
Yeah, but then Andrew, we said last year, was going to be a producer, and then we just got rid of him because he's a doofus. And then we have Tyson. Tyson was kind of all over the place. I'm not sure where he was going with this one. Piss, vomit, shit. Can you tell me what's so goddamn important, Kyle? What is it? Your job? Your health? Your family? What? All caps of an exclamation point, question mark. I'm feeling the episode, fellas, but not feeling Kyle's limp-dicked part-time commitment as a PMP PC life partner. Without the engineer angle, it's just football. The last line is what gets me because I think he's thinking more about Billy because he's more of an engineering-type right. brain, and Kyle definitely is not. So I kind of like where he's all over the place here, where he might not even know who Kyle is.
Wait, so, and what was this person's name?
Tyson.
Tyson, can you comment again this week on this week's episode?
We're hacking.
And just
we're
like explain. Yeah, explain. The last part didn't make a lot of sense. Maybe just like elaborate a little bit on what you're thinking.
Yeah, Kyle was on the show like three years ago. And then it was first me and Kyle for 2 years.
I think maybe Kyle an idiot? Mm-hmm. Maybe confused some people because we kept doing is Kyle an idiot after Kyle was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was
That is a good point. Maybe. But then then it was always Billy. I don't know. Either way, Tyson, we need you. We need you to comment back. This is very, very important. But with that again, yeah, comment, whatever. We'll say some stupid shit like this at the end if we get any comments. But
are the comments all visible? Like anybody can go on there and look and see what the comments are?
I review them and then I can publish them.
Somebody will say something.
I mean, I've said this like 4 weeks in a row where I didn't publish the guy last year who like three times said, "Where's Kyle? Where's Kyle? I miss Kyle." With that, I don't know. Should be a good game. First time we're having a 3:25 kickoff this year, so that'll be fun.
Wait, is it a CBS game? You said,
yeah.
How many NFC games are CBS now? I just heard that the Vikings have played on CBS for all four games that they have played this year were on CBS.
They seem to play on CBS quite a bit last year too. It's
so weird.
I wish we could go back in time. It was nice when it was just Fox was at NFC, CBS.
And they hired guys that were like AFC guys that like played on those teams. Like they had
Cower.
They had like, I want to say it was like
Gonzalez.
Tony Gonzalez.
Which would not fit. Well, I guess he was with the Chiefs.
Chiefs. I don't remember because we did. But then like the Fox crew.
Well, like, Terry Bradshaw. Howie for the Raiders.
Terry.
Now Gronk for the... That's different, though.
But Gronk's...
Shanahan. Michael Strahan.
Strahan fits. Okay, so that doesn't
I read incorrectly in my brain his last name.
So that doesn't really play out. But I'm just used to Fox.
Either way, I think we're right. It's always NFC. AFC.
Jimmy Johnson was the coach in Dallas. So like that plays.
I think they had Michael Irvin back in the day, too, on Fox.
Was he on Fox?
Emmett Smith? I don't know. Is this good content?
Not Emmett.
Emmett's been on TV. Jerry Rice was really bad. Joe Montana was an announcer too at one point, and he was so bad they pulled him as well.
Did you watch? I didn't watch.
Brady commented.
Okay.
I saw the Mayfield thing, but I'm like...
The Mayfield thing I saw, which is
whatever.
Like... Okay,
I don't
like,
fucking... Tom Brady sucks.
Wow. He's going to remember that. He's going to write that down.
Oh, yeah. Then he's going to... I worry about not having Super Bowls. Oh, wow. Cool, Tom. We get it. You're really fucking good at football. With that, I don't have anything else. Todd, do you have anything else?
No, I don't. No, nothing.
Cool. Okay. AJ Dillon, please take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy. Just watch.
Take news. Flannel Fest. Oh, you would like this.
I can't remember the last time I wore a flannel.
You wore one for like 4 years straight.
Not really. I'd only wear like flannels to like concerts and shit. You guys love talking about like I remember Scotty Cross at this.
You wear a flannel.
Cody wore flannels more than me.
Ironically.
Okay.
It's different.
So he's just walking around in public. He's like, hey, just so you guys know, this is ironic.